Well, we're switching off John a little bit today because God has just laid some things on my heart, and when he works on me, I just need to feel a need to share it with you. On Friday, it was a blessing to be able to celebrate with Sunday and Jack and in their marriage and the vows. How beautiful that was. And then Saturday, it was special also. I was able to help preside over a funeral for an old friend. And it just in the moments of the wedding and in the funeral, it just brought up just all kinds of emotion. But it also brought me to a point to hear some incredible things from God. And you notice there's a lot of scriptures in the message for today. And the scriptures have to do with just this time I had over the weekend with God, where God was just talking to me about time and how precious time is, how valuable time is. And that my time, that I call it my time, it's really a gift from God. And so I look at it that way, and it's really God's time. And I began to wonder, am I making the best of the time that God gives me? Am I doing everything that he calls me to do? And I took this journey through scripture. And I just want to share a little bit of that with you this morning. And the first scripture we have is Psalm 139, 13 through 18. It says, "For you have formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Now how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I am awake, I am still with you." The psalmist just describes this incredible, wonderful relationship with our Creator. Even before we knew, God knew us. Even before we were, God had a plan for making us. Even before we did anything, God had a plan for our lives. He made us, just think about it, whoever you are, whatever you're like, however you talk, God made us just the way he wanted to. How we look, the way we talk. And we should celebrate his workmanship. We should just celebrate who you are because God created you. You should celebrate how you are because God created you. You're like nobody else. Your sense of humor is different. The way you look is different. The way you talk is different. Your favorites are different. You're completely different from anybody else. God made you just the way he wanted you to be. And God has known everything about us even before we were, and he knows the time that we have. Just think about it. Even before God made you, he knew exactly how much time you would have. He knew what he wanted you to accomplish in that time. Have you ever seen something advertised and just thought to yourself, I've got to have it? You have no plans for it. It's just strictly impulse. You see one of them stupid commercials on the TV, and it looks so fun. It looks so awesome. There's no good use for it. It's like one of those little helicopters you can fly around the house and terrorize your family. There's no good use for it, but you got to have it. Or you see something, you just got to have it. That impulse. And God, he knew it was, this is going to scare you. God knew what he was doing when he made me. Isn't that frightful? He knew exactly what he was doing when he made you. He made you the way you are. He has the plans for you. He knows your passion. How wonderful are the conversations with you. It's incredible to listen to your plans for my life. And that's one of the things too is we need to remember is that God made us. He knows everything about us. And it's just not like he makes us and sets us free. But he wants to go with us on the journey. He wants to walk with us. He wants to talk with us. He wants us to listen to him. And he's going to listen to us. He wants to have this relationship with us. I love that verse 17. How precious are your thoughts to me? How vast is the sum of them? I think right there is where part of the church gets a little lost when we take the easier, softer way. Because the psalmist talks here, and we realize it when we pray to God, that the way that God speaks to us, the way that God wants to work, it's vast and incredible. We can't understand it. It just blows my mind sometimes, the things that he does or the things that he wants to do. In fact, in my early ministry, the moment I said, I can't do that. For me, that was almost like a red flag. Is that something God wanted me to do? As soon as I said, well, I can't do that. There's no way that's possible. It was like, that's exactly what God wanted to do. And it wasn't about me. It was about what he wanted to do in me or through me. Thank you, God, for making me and my friends, all the people around me, just the way we are. And I thank you for the plan that you have for us. And then he has that little last line. He says, when I awake, I am still with you. It's like he's in this, I just envision this intense moment of prayer and communion with God. That moment when you just close everything else out and it's just you and God. You don't even notice what's going on around you. You don't notice the sounds. You don't notice the distractions because it's such an incredible, wonderful time with God. And you think, I love just being with you, God. But then we come out of the prayer and we go on our way. It's like we're on our own. But the psalmist says, you know, as soon as I get up and go on, God, you're still with me. You know, we had this conversation. And God, you're not just with me in the conversation. You're always with me. Just a reminder that I sat down and looked at, you know, I did that silly course that I did about being healthy and happy and making sure you're doing the right things and taking care of yourself and doing what God wants you to do. And then you read the scripture and then you pray. It just messes everything up. Because then I begin to seek and I want to do what God wants me to do, how he wants me to do it, when he wants me to do it, and where he wants me to do it. And that means I got to pray about all these things that I've taken on that I'm doing. Same with all of you. Not just all about me. It's about all of us. How are we using the time that we have? How are we doing with what God has done? Are we in God's program? Are we in his plan? Or have we come up with a better plan? There's no better plan than what God has for us. In Job chapter 14 at verses 1 through 5, man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. Like a flower, he comes forth and withers. He also flees like a shadow and does not remain. You also open your eyes to him and bring him into judgment with yourself. Who can make the clean out of the unclean? No one. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you. And his limits have been set, so he cannot pass. Your life seems to way too short and full of obstacles. It seems too full for us to waste time trying to do it our own way. God sets the limits. He sets the parameters for our lives. It's him and not the world, not the people around us, and certainly not Satan. God is the one who sets everything up. God is the one who sets up the plan. God is the one who determines what you can do and what you can't do. God sets all of that up. He predestined it. He did it even before you were. It's not the world. It's not the people around you who say, you can do that, you can't do that, you need to be more like this, you need to work for this, you need to do this. It's not the world, and it's certainly not Satan, who comes up to you and says, you can do a little bit of that. It doesn't matter. You can have a little bit more fun. Look what this is. This is okay for you. Whether it's drugs or pornography, misuse of money, whatever it is. See, God, he knows what he has set before each and every one of us to do. And he knows exactly the time, the amount of time that he has allotted to us to do it. It hits me really hard when I think about today when I woke up, God already had the schedule for me. He knew what he wanted me to accomplish, and he knew how much time I would have to accomplish it. He already had it predestined. He had it set up. So I had, when I woke up this morning, I had a choice, just as all of you. I can get up, not talk to God, and do it my way because it's just an easy day. I know what I need to do, God, so I really don't need to be in conversation with you. I'll just take care of stuff. That never works out well for me. I don't know about you. Or I can seek God and say, God, this is a day that you have given to me. This is time that you have given to me. And the strength that I have, it's because you have blessed me with it. So what would you have me do today? How would you have me do it? And time takes up it's a little bit more intense. It's a little bit more valuable when I realize that there's only a certain amount that God has given to me. And there's things that need to be accomplished for him. So as we're on the computer playing a game, on our phone playing Subway Surfer or whatever it is, it's nice to have fun. It's nice to have some downtime. But we can't do it at the expense of what God would have us do. Sometimes I'm with you, I like just to brain out. Do something dumb and mindless. Just kind of tune out the world for a little bit. But sometimes I can get a little excessive on that. I mean, once you're brain dead, it's nice to stay that way for a little bit, isn't it? But not at the expense of God's time and what he would have us do. Because he says here that life is as fragile for man as it is for a flower. Then in James chapter 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. I like James. It was one of the first books that I read. For me, it was a pattern of my early Christian life on how to live. And sometimes in life, we like to navigate as though we're the captain of the boat. We like to make the plans. We like to chart the course. But if we really believe God is in control and has a plan for our lives, then why don't we stick to his course? Do I really believe that God is in control? Do I really believe that God made it all? Do I really believe that God gives me my very breath? Then perhaps I should live that way. Instead of sticking to our own planning where we know what to expect, there's an incredible excitement in following God where there are surprises at every turn. When I plan to do stuff, I pretty much know how it's going to go. I pretty much know how I'm going to be at every point of the process too. There are points that I really like to do, and then parts that are tedious that I don't like so much. And then there are other parts where I perk up again. It's kind of like ministry. I love ministry. I love people. Paperwork, urine reports, not so much. But I do them because they are a necessary part. Well, they say they're a necessary part in order to be in the ministry. Here in Goldendale, it would have been real easy. I'm thinking we're in our fourth year, but it would have been real easy just to keep doing what we were doing and getting what we were getting. It would have been real easy just to make a little change here and there and just keep doing what we're doing. But I don't know about you, I can't do it that way anymore. I can't do it my way. I can't do it the easier, softer way. This God that I serve, that we serve, I love serving Him because when He tells me to do things or when He moves in my life, I have not a clue what He is going to do the next moment. It's like you step over that threshold and they say it's like stepping out into nothingness because you have to take that first step and you have no idea what God is going to do. You just know He's going to do something. And it's like each step that you take is a surprise when you're doing things His way. This is God of creation and you don't know. So when you ask me about the building process, all I know is that we'll come together with a vision of what God wants that to look like and what He wants us to continue doing in our community. But I can't tell you the surprises that we're going to experience, I believe, at every turn. To know God that God has a plan for us and to do it our way is to live in sin. When I read that part at the end, therefore, to the one who knows the right thing and knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is to sin. When I know that the right thing to do is to follow God, to listen to God, and then I do it my way anyway, I might think I'm doing it for good. I might think I'm doing it for Him, but actuality, what I'm doing is sinning. Because I'm going to let my ego and my pride get in the way. I'm doing it the way that I want to. Then Matthew chapter 6. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Now look at the birds of the air. That they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you by being worried can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you? You of little faith, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But first, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's face it. We worry. All of us, we worry at one time or another. We worry about finances. We worry about our kids. We worry about health. We worry about stuff. We worry because we want things to be good. We don't worry because we want it to be a bad thing. But in fact, the worry does no good at all. The worry, in fact, takes seconds, days, even years off our lives. We're not created to worry. We're not supposed to be worriers. We're called to be faithful, to trust on God. Now, we started out by looking at how God knew us and had a plan for us even before we were. A plan how he would work in our lives, use us, and even take care of us. God has a plan for us. Kind of wonder, did he have all my food lined up even before I was? Did he have all my finances, my jobs lined up? Because it says that he'll take care of us. He'll provide for us. And I thought, if God so wonderfully cared for all that he created, the animals and the plants, then how much more would he take care of that which he has created in his own image? God will take care of us. But all the way at the end, he has that, the key. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And then again, he says, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. So he begins by saying, don't worry, because God takes care of everything. Then he says, basically, the key is to keep God first, your relationship with him, to worship and love the Lord your God. Remember, with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, with all that you are. Take care of your relationship with God, and God will take care of the stuff. He'll take care of all the things that you need. And if your relationship is right with God, you will not have worry in your life. If your relationship is right with God, you will not have worry in your life. Because if my relationship is right with God, I'm trusting him. And if I'm trusting him, how can I worry? So for today, I'll work on my relationship with him. And then I'll finish up with Jeremiah 29. You notice that there's a mixture of Old and New Testament scripture in here. And I love that about the living word, is because they all go like this together. They're woven together. They all support each other. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. God knows the plans for your life. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but God does. You don't know what he's going to put before you, but God does. And they're not plans for failure, but they're plans for an eternal future and a plan for hope. God wants to do pretty neat things in you and through you. So unfortunately, sometimes in this world, we have to go through some painful hurdles. God doesn't promise. He doesn't say, hey, everything's going to be smooth and easy. You're not going to experience any pain in this relationship with me. It's going to be good. In the Word, it says over and over that we're allowed to go through some struggles. We're allowed to go through some things that bring us closer to God, that strengthen us, that prepare us for future things. There's things in my life I look back and think, God, why did I have to go through that? And then as I go on in life, I realize that, God, thank you for allowing me to go through that so that I'm able to deal with the situation I'm in right now. And part of his plans for us is a constant communication, prayer, going to him, speaking to him, listening to him. We don't do enough praying. Prayers where we dump it out. Prayers where we receive our instructions. How can we know where to go if we're not listening to the directions? How can we know the plans if we're not willing to read the directions? How many times has somebody, in real life, think about it, when other people around you and they start talking, you telling you how to get to this one place, and I've done it myself, I overtalk them, I said, yeah, I know. And then I go to get there and I get lost. And then I'm upset with them because it's their fault because they didn't give me good directions. And the problem is I really didn't listen to the right directions in the first place because I thought I knew it all. We need to be praying. I love on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock here at the church, we have a group going. And if you're more than welcome, we'd love to have the place full when we come together for just praising God in a few songs and then going to prayer. I will let you know too, if that doesn't work for you and you'd like a different time, you let Pastor Greta know and we'll work something else out too. But we need to be a praying church above all else. We have to be praying in order to go forward as God would have us go. Because every day we will seek Him and every day we will find Him as we search for Him, live for Him, with all that we are. But we need to do some seeking. Because God is... I just love that the verse in Revelation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And whoever opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me. But we have to open the door. And the door is through prayer. So I would ask that as we go into these next days, it's not our resources. It's not our time. It's not our money. It's not our talents. It's all God's. God, how would you have us use this? How would you have us do this? What do you want it to look like? How do you want us to serve our community? We just don't want to say, hey, we're here to share the word of God. Well, we are, because that's biblical. We're not here just to reach the people. Well, we're here to do that because that's what we're supposed to do. But what is personal? What is personal for us? What is our vision? How are we moving forward personally, each and every one of us? Because God created you. He knows your time. He knows your talents. He knows His plan. Would you pray with me this morning? Lord God, I thank you. I thank you for this word this morning that speaks to me and just reaffirms and reassures me. And I pray that everybody else here too, that you are a God who is in control, a God with purpose and plans, a God who creates, a God with mission and vision. You know everything about us. You know the plans for us, the plans for the church, the plans for Goldendale. So help us, dear Lord, that we might be faithful in prayer, faithful in giving everything to you, that you would be first and foremost in our lives. I don't know what the plans that you have for us are. But dear Lord, I know that you have them. And I give you thanks. I give you all the praise for what has been done, what is being done right this very moment, and the future to come. In your precious and most holy name I pray. Amen.